This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Time you read about it in the Wall Street Journal, it's already too late.
Nobody knows if the stock is going to go up, down, sideways.
The only problem you're going to have is that you didn't buy more.
Let me lock in that trade right now and get back to you with my secretary with an exact confirmation.
All right, buy or sell time, Michael. Rafael Devers last night, he hit the two-run home run in the first inning against Kyle Freeland. Kyle Freeland was upset that Devers kind of just stood back in awe and admired his work instead of, he said, just taking his sweet time getting around the bases. Buy or sell, it's okay to taunt when you hit a home run at any time in the game.
Baseball needs to drop that. They've already dropped the pitcher and the hitter can spend 45 minutes in the box just, you know, preparing. They need to drop this too, this little, oh, I hit it to the first baseman and he's taking his time to step on the base.
No, you don't. I'm talking about home run. You hit a home run. I think you're losing track here. You hit a home run.
It's the same attitude, though.
And
it's all the same attitude.
You don't need
drop that stuff. Allow him to do it. It's fine.
But I don't care if they sprint. I want them to walk around, dance. I don't care. Do you buy or sell that they should be able to flex, basically?
I buy that they should be allowed to say to do all that, and baseball should drop that whole old person.
I do, too. All right, so on that same note, do you buy or sell Kyle Freeland's reaction?
I would sell that.
Probably. I like that there's not zombies out there and they're doing the 1-2-3 Cabo, you know, Cabo on three or whatever. If you remember the old Lakers team after Kobe. I like that there's still some fight. I think I would rather a different player other than Freeland be like, come on, dude, get around the bases. But I don't really care about bench clearing, dugout clearing, brawls. I don't really care about that.
That's my favorite part of baseball.
I don't care about that. Like, I don't really like fighting in hockey, Mike. I don't, you know me, I'm not really big into that. But I do want attitude. And I saw attitude and I was entertained by it. Got a little far, but I don't really have that big of an issue with it. All right, buy or sell this, Mike. Coach Prime says that Julian Juju Lewis will play against Delaware this week. The Buffs are 24.5-point favorites. Buy or sell, the only reason we might see Juju Lewis in this game is because the Buffs are smoking the Delaware Blue Hens of the CUA. I guess it's not Conference USA anymore. It's just USA. Is that what it is? Is that the only reason, or do you think Coach Prime is actually contemplating a quarterback change at this point? Is it only because he believes they're going to be boat racing the Blue Hens on Saturday?
I think there is some doubt in his mind
in Caden Salter
right now. So I'm going to buy that.
You're buying that it's a real, like he's truly thinking.
I'm buying that he might throw him in the second quarter, you know.
Even when it's still
a game?
If
they're only up by 10.
Yeah.
Just for a drive, let's have some fun here.
Pretty confident of Coach Prime. Because I almost took it as, oh yeah, he's going to play. Because we're going to be boat racing Delaware. And you're going to see our rookie quarterback. Freshman, whatever. NFL's tomorrow. I got the NFL in my brain. What do you enjoy better? Not Broncos. Exclude the Broncos. NFL or college football? What do you like better?
NFL.
Really? You take the Broncos out of it. Do you still like the NFL better than college football?
Overall, yeah. It's tough to tell because they're both... They both have different feels to them. They feel so different.
I used to be 90% NFL, 10% college when I was in high school. I liked my local teams, and that was it. But I don't know, man. I kind of like the drama. And there's a lot of drama surrounding college football all the time.
I'd say I care more about the teams that I don't care about in college than I do the NFL team. So I can watch an Ohio State-Texas game and enjoy that more than I can a Dallas and Philadelphia game.
You mean the Thursday night special tomorrow night?
Yeah, I thought I'd throw that in there.
That's one of the most looked forward to games in all of the week.
And I'll certainly be looking forward to listening to it here at here on KFKA. Coverage starting at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, but the Thursday night special is at 1:15 tomorrow. So,
and you'll be predicting who the loser is.
No, I'll be predict. Well, I mean, am I going to take the Eagles to cover 8.5? Am I going to take the Cowboys to cover 8.5? Am I going to take the Cowboys to win? It's not that insane. Now, the Micah Parsons thing has everybody. Oh, the Cowboys are down on their luck. The rumor mill is churning, Mike, saying that there are a lot of players on that roster that didn't like Micah Parsons. And then he had the injury thing. So is it as bad as it's been first kind of talked about and reported on?
I don't think that locker room stuff is real.
I really like Micah.
I think they all liked him.
I think he was talking about you.
Oh,
he kept calling Micah.
I really like Micah.
He kept calling. This reminded me of me. He kept calling Micah in that press conference. Michael.
I mean, maybe,
me and Jerry Jones.
Maybe he just kept calling the wrong guy and offering him more money.
He's maybe.
Like, no, I'm Dak. I'm Dak, not Micah Parsons.
Maybe it was
Parsons.
Michael Irvin. He was like, Michael Irvin? Is it Irvin or Irving? I just had a brain hiccup
Irvin.
There. Wow. Did you see him on the sidelines the other night? In the what game was it? Was it the Miami game? Yeah, it was the Miami game. Of course, Miami. Dude, he's an energetic human. Very energetic.
He was with Miami back in the days when they were all selling cocaine.
Yep.
Maybe that's it. Maybe he is still selling.
Yeah. That's what you think?
No.
The snow?
I just wanted to make the joke.
The snow. Go Poke says, yeah, we'll play that. I want to hear from Jay Sauvel, too, at some point. We got to try to get him on. We never were able to get Sundance on the show with Steve Smiley, two-man game podcast. We do that tomorrow. I'd like to get him on, though. He says, you love a good dust-up. Don't lie. I don't really like the fighting that takes away from it. I don't mind like a good joker going to knock your butt down to the ground and then that's kind of it. I don't mind that. In the NBA, I kind of like seeing them once in a while. Like when James Harden and Christian Brown were going at it, I kind of liked that. So maybe I'm a hypocrite here, because I don't really necessarily like to see it in baseball. Now, it doesn't make me a hypocrite. It just means I don't like to see it in certain sports.
I mean, I love watching people try to punch each other in baseball and just whiff. Like, those guys can't fight.
I don't know
why.
I don't care to see it.
Oh, I care to see it. It's hilarious.
I do like, if you go hit the quarterback, like Bo Nix, and it's a bad hit, it's a late hit or bad.
Oh, I love watching
that. I like seeing an offensive lineman get up in that dude's face and is like, what? You get away from my quarterback. I like that.
So why
don't I like it in baseball, Mike?
I don't know, because they can't fight. I loved it what's his name, for the Browns just tore off the quarterback's helmet and just smacked him in the head.
Myles Garrett? You liked that?
Well, no, I loved what the offensive lineman did.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I loved, like, I was all for it. Yeah. I almost wanted them not be suspended. I know they had to, but, like, going back, pinning them on the ground, kicking them in the head, like, you got to protect your guy.
GoPoke says that's called a double standard. I don't know. It's just, like, I don't like to see it in baseball. I don't really need to see the benches clear. Because the game, I get it, it's faster now with the pitch clock. But the game's long enough to have to clear the benches, then to have to talk to everybody, then to figure out who screwed up, and then we got to go back.
Just throw at somebody's thigh and let them go to first base.
But why do they got to clear the benches? They don't do that in most sports. Baseball's the one. It's like, oh, they're clearing the dugout, and then they got to get everybody out there. They're chewing their sunflower seeds. That's why. Because it takes too long. It takes me out of it.
Well, I haven't been playing baseball in 3 days because I'm not a starter. I will clear the bench.
And hockey, I don't like it either because it takes away, personally, for me, it takes away from the game. Like, you don't see it. You don't see fights really in the playoffs because it's more important. It means more. And so I like, you know, let's say you're down 2-0. It's the start of the third period. I'm like at the edge of my seat. Come on, Avs, pull this off. You can do this. Every back and forth, let's go. It's crucial. And then we got to stop for a fight. To me, it's kind of like that's something that's not even part of the sport. It's just different.
And sometimes so, you need that fight, though.
Yeah, I get it. I do get it.
Hockey's just different. Hockey's one of those sports where you're like, okay, they're fighting. I understand why they're fighting.
Yes.
In the NFL, like, there's no need to fight.
Yeah, because you're beating the hell out of each other all the time.
There kind
of
is. Because if you don't fight, they're going to start slashing each other.
Basketball is, like, usually pretty quick. Unless it's, like, the Nuggets and the Pacers all those years. Wasn't it the Pacers? Usually it's, like, I get in your face, I push you, and I'm talking trash, and then we go right back to it. And maybe there's a technical. I don't know. I can't explain myself. I'm a very weird person. Speaking of weird, Sean Keeler coming up. Keeling Me Softly with Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. I got to ask, I have so many questions about everything, but specifically about Juju Lewis, timeouts, what else? You have a question for Sean Keeler?
Does he like fighting in baseball?
What's his favorite? What's the favorite between the NFL and the NCAA football? How about that? That's a good poll question. Let's throw it out. Let's throw it out there, Mike. Take us home. Take us home.
Brian Gary, Tanner Schwint. Good Morning NoCo is on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA. I'm in my bed with his fingers, singing my life with his words, killing me softly with his song, killing me softly with his song, telling my whole life with his words.
It's important to give context. It's Keeling Me Softly. It's not a romantic song from me to Sean Keeler about, you know, killing me softly with his kiss or anything. The beard would get in the way. It is Keeling Me Softly. Sean Keeler, everyone, Denver Post. How about that for an intro?
That's worth it. That's worth a two-week break.
Well, we're going to come up with something better.
Was that the Roberta Flack version and not the Fugees version?
I like the Fugees version better.
I do too. I love Roberta Flack, but I'm 70s to the core. But yeah, Fugees version's way better.
Yeah, Lauryn Hill, amazing. Just amazing. Well, yeah, I could go off all day. Because Lauryn Hill was like crazy.
We should.
Like, she was so amazing. She won so many awards, and then suddenly she's like, later.
Yeah, well.
Other stuff happened, I guess, too. I don't know. I don't know all the details. But Sean Keeler, timeouts. Seems like that's a big topic of conversation around Boulder today.
Here's when you know you've hit a nerve, because, you know, who knows better where the nerves are in the Coach Prime universe than yours truly. When he leads off after he reads the script
from CUPR, and the faster he reads that and wants to get to his rebuttal, I mean, and he's entitled to that. Every coach would and does, but he absolutely will and does. That I tried to think, did he go to Shurmur first or the timeouts first? I think he went to Shurmur first.
Full disclosure, I didn't watch the whole thing. I was stuck on the timeouts thing.
And when some of y'all got to let some of that go, and I laughed and went, no, that's not going to happen. One. Two, then he had two rebuttals. And then he went into the timeouts. And I think he went into it, asked a question about something else that then he was on his mind to go there and say, oh, by the way, I'm going to defend that back. Look, I mean, he wasn't wrong in his explanation, but he also really wasn't right. He was called out everywhere, and that doesn't make him happy. That never plays well.
Well, I get what he was trying to say, but it was the first play on that first down was a negative play, and he's like, we're there. You got to get rhythm. I'm looking at it going, no, I'm calling the timeout there for a million reasons at that point.
Yeah. And I mean, a lot of people after the fact are like texting me, you've got to regroup there. That is 101. Start that over. And, you know, there are a lot of elephants in this room. And one of the elephants is this is the first time Deion Sanders is fielding a major college team, not Jackson State. He had 1 year or two-thirds of the year at Jackson without Shadur. This is he hasn't had that floor general who's also in the family, who can kind of buffer ideas and buffer what they've got to do and keep everybody's head in the game. They don't have that anymore. And that was the first time in a close game that it showed in a season that should have a lot of close games based on what we've seen in the Big 12. So, I mean, if you're a Buffs fan, yeah, that probably worries you a little. That it was kind of, I think the Georgia Tech game was a Rorschach test. Like, you know what that is? You know what that is. You're a tough guy.
Yeah.
Is that I think you take from it what you want to take from it. You will see, do you see a butterfly or do you see a head splatter open? I don't know. Bad example. But I think there are things, and I say that to say that there are things you can take that are not bad.
Yeah.
I think they ran the ball better than we recall. The stats were there. There was intent to run the ball some that were better, and yet they got run over for 300 yards, and so it's like that everything gets buried by that lead. So I think the real honest test of right or wrong or where this is in 2 weeks. You're on the road against a team you're better than on paper, but that doesn't mean anything in this league. I think Houston a week from Friday is going to tell us an awful lot again.
Yeah, I disagreed with how he didn't call the timeouts, all that stuff. I've seen it so much. I've seen NFL coaches flub that. It happens. I had more of a problem with the response to the timeouts, you know, in the press conference yesterday. But I honestly took the glass half full approach because I think Georgia Tech, if they stay healthy, is going to be a really, really good football team. Now, we'll see. CU should have been able to take advantage of all those turnovers in the first quarter, but they couldn't, so that's scary. But the fact that they were going, you know, back and forth with this team, I think Georgia Tech's going to be a really good team. I don't know how good, but I don't think that's a shameful loss.
And no, it's not. And I think that's fair. And that's why I go back to the Rorschach test, or if you want glass half full, glass, it's half something. However you want to take that, it's half because it's a quality loss for which the quality is TBD. We're going to find out. Suddenly everyone's, you know, secretly biggest Yellow Jackets fans are all in Boco rooting for them to carry it forward. I'm not sure it really works that way. But yeah, that should be a top four ACC team. It's definitely a matchup problem. You knew it was going to be, and it was. I think if there is some at the same time, you're like, oh, not a bad loss. They didn't, you know, they didn't lose North Dakota State at home, although that team was pretty good in hindsight. I think there's a hope that obviously that Tech is pretty good in hindsight. You also got run over, and your biggest weakness on paper still hasn't really been addressed. But then you can count, again, glass half full, half empty. You say, who's going to run the ball as well as Georgia Tech that's left on that schedule?
Mm-hmm.
I can name you one. but I can't name you more than two or three. Like, probably Utah, based on what we saw.
Yeah.
If they've got right, probably BYU, another massive September game for a team that's got to figure this stuff out. And, you know, probably K-State and KU. But it's not a long – I mean, ASU, we'll see. It's not a long list. And it's certainly in terms of QBs who could beat you with their legs, it's not that much of a longer list either. So, yeah, I think both CU and CSU can feel okay about being 0-1. I think it's the degree of okay and who cleans up the stuff that bothers you the quickest going forward, because they both have that and they both left some talking points on the table. Bless them for that. You're writing critiques.
Oh,
thank you for leaving talking points. We appreciate that.
As if we needed a lot more, but it was nice to get actual football going, and then we could develop more storylines from that. But then Coach Prime and Coach Norvell give us weird things, you know? Coach Prime perhaps underthinking it with the timeout situation. Jay Norvell maybe overthinking it with the fake field goal, then not a fake field goal, but Braden's not out there and their defense is, and the rest is history. On Juju Lewis, Sean, your article in the Denver Post, will CU Buffs QB Julian Lewis be Deion Sanders' Arch Manning? The Juju era arrives Saturday. Is Coach Prime saying that Juju's going to play because they're going up against Delaware and they're 25-point favorites, they're probably going to be blowing them out? Or is he looking at that going, we're going to have him in this game when it's still a game?
I think both those things are true, but to what degree the second one is, I don't know. Like, I'm surprised he didn't play in the opener, but I also understand why. I don't know that that would have been the place and the time to go wholesale, that's our guy. But I thought there'd be continual sprinkling. And this is what this month is for, right? You can sprinkle, 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 and then you have redshirt and portal decisions, et cetera, coming out of this month, right? Right? Traditionally.
Yeah.
So I got the impression this whole month was kind of a tryout for everybody. And I wasn't even trying at all. He thought Caden Salter gave him the best chance to win that game, and he said, I'm going to ride the hand that gives me the best chance to go 1-0 because I'm always 1-0. It's the first time he's ever been 0-1. Like, I respect that. I get that. I also think that if they were not three touchdown favorites, you'd be a little less inclined to be he's definitely playing. He's definitely out there. I would hope that that's not as much an indictment of Caden as much as it is part of the master plan to start making your five-star happy. Because, again, as noted in the column today, there's only one of those guys you got to make happy. Like, if Caden Salter is unhappy, he's unhappy and you don't have anywhere to go. Like, that's it. This was his, you know, Hail Mary to get this thing done at the end of his career. Juju Lewis has three cars and about 10 suitors the minute he goes. You know, really? Yeah. I mean, it goes with he could be a free agent anytime he wants. And I don't know if you saw the Esquire. I mean, he's already been he's the subject of an Esquire feature. Not having
wow, I didn't see that.
Yet. Yeah, Google that. It's a read about high school NILs and the states that are taking advantage of it. Georgia, big into keeping kids and having that kind of open market for them. And he obviously took advantage of that and made some money and is continuing to make some money. So at some point there will be rubber meets the road with Julian Lewis of, hey, and his father and the folks who are in his corner saying, hey, we have business interests and I'm not going to keep $1 million endorsement to hold a clipboard. I think those conversations most certainly have been had with the CU staff. And I think CU is conscious of that. And I think it's like Deion said, he knows that he's going to play and he's not going to tell us how much. And I think you raise a great point as to when. I think it'd be great if you're up 17-0, which that game has the potential to be, and then you do it. But maybe it's two series, and you see what you got. I think conventional thinking would be to get a 3-score lead and let the rest take care of itself or even more. But when do we prescribe conventional thinking to what Coach Prime does?
Yeah. Well, and I was thinking about you too, Keeler, at the end of that press conference, or at least around the timeout thing. And you know, when he's asking the question, when do you call timeouts? When he's asking reporters, and I get it. Like, everybody has to be careful because They don't want to get Keelered. And you were just asking fair questions. And we're calling it Keelered now.
Are we going to make that a verb now?
I think so. I think we're ready to make it official. You're comfortable with it now.
Keelered. It sounds better if you say it in a Jimmy Dandy voice. You don't want to get Keelered. It's going to be bad. That sounds more like bad Burgess Meredith.
Don't ask.
You don't want to do it in a Burgess Meredith from Rocky voice. That would be something. No, and you know what? That I was in that room and, you know, just tapping the fingers going, yeah, okay, let's do it. And credit to those, my peers who raised, you know, there were some friendly media to him who raised that question. Good for them, because that's a fair point. That's a point that fans want to know and want an explanation for. And I think everybody knows that fans deserve that explanation. And I think a lot of them are like, huh? Still
oh, yeah.
with that?
Yeah.
But I think this whole year is going to be a lot of up and downs and huhs,
mm-hmm.
and I'm hoping to be proven wrong in that respect, but it's going to be different. And we've said from day one, this is always going to be the season where, you know, notwithstanding his health too, where Coach Prime's going to find out how much he really loves this, good, bad, or otherwise. Next week will probably be happier. We'll see how happy they are in a couple weeks, because you've got some real interesting ones coming for the end of this month. It's a really interesting first month for both schools of our Big Two here, but definitely on the Buffs front.
Yeah, no question, my friend. Sean, always amazing stuff from you. Love getting you on the show. Love your stuff. Love working with the Denver Post on this to have you on. Appreciate you as always, my friend.
Likewise, brother. Let's get some Lauryn Hill rolling next time.
Okay. Yeah, I'll snap Micah back into line.
You make that happen.
We got to do it. All right, my friend. Sean Keeler. Yeah, that was Keeling Me Soft. We need to come up with like an intro for it, though. And now Micah has picked up the phone, and he is talking. You're not supposed to talk to the guest. Here's what you do, Mike.
When y'all agree with me on
you
everything.
Call, you pick up the phone, and you go, dot, 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 dot. Hello, this is Micah. I'm calling to get you on the whole show. Are you ready? Please hold. Hang up. That's it. And then you hang up. Don't talk to them.
So hang up on them. Don't put them on hold.
No, you put them on hold. And then when the interview is over, you say, thank you very much for your time. Goodbye. And then you hang up. You don't go, hey, did you see the latest Darkwing Duck in Sector 4 last night? You don't do that stuff. I'm catching you do that a lot lately, and it's starting to scare the guests.
Not doing that at all.
I was
saying goodbye and telling him Roberta Flack
would
be better.
No, I could tell you were getting ready to go somewhere. You asked him right before you got him on if he liked baseball fights. You started going into that whole thing.
I wanted to prepare him in case you were going to ask that question.
No, in all seriousness, Micah doesn't. Strangely enough, all of my guests like you. Right? Go figure. I don't know. You got me, man. It's great. 37 minutes after the hour, let's jump right out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition, every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado. And you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KSKS.
Two minutes after 1 o'clock, welcome back into the old show powered by Chevron. Michael, do you think this Denver Broncos defense is going to be better than the no-fly zone that we saw win Super Bowl 50?
This defense has the potential.
I mean, dude. So tomorrow on the show, I want to do a roster by side-by-side, a roster-by-roster comparison. And we're going to go through it, and we're going to discuss, like, who's better at this position. We're going to go through that Super Bowl roster and compare it. But, dude, I mean, Zach Allen, He led all, so he can play kind of that merge in the 3-4. He's the lefty end. He can play in the 4-3s at the D tackle. As a D tackle, he led all D tackles with 67 pressures and 40 quarterback hits, with an 8.5 sack 2024. Got him a $102 million extension this summer. DJ Jones, man. Probably don't talk about him enough. They kept him from hitting free agency. They got him with a 3-year deal back in March. Excellent against the run. Malcolm Roach. I mean, that he's a leader on the field. He's a leader for this defense, too. John Franklin Myers. That's another guy. I mean, we're waiting on his contract, too. I don't know if that's going to get done. Still don't have Nick Benito's done. He's entering the last year of his contract. They're going to let him play off of it on his last year. So there's going to be a lot of motivation for this dude. This guy came out of Stephen F. Austin, too. John Franklin Myers. How do you not root for a guy that came out of Stephen F. Austin? Savion Jones, in his first season out of LSU, he was a third-round pick. They're really high on him. This dude, Nick Benito. Alex Singleton and Dre Greenlaw inside. Can they stay healthy? They're going to be on somewhat of a pitch count, all that kind of thing. Those guys are good, dude. This might have a this secondary, though, could be unstoppable. Before I get there, but like Jonathan Cooper, too. You got Jonah Ellis, who we didn't really... I mean, he had the shoulder injury last year, but if he's healthy, it'll be interesting to see how he does. But this secondary, Patrick Surtain and Riley Moss, I think are going to make up one of the top duos in the NFL. And then you add Jahdae Barron at rookie, even like Chris Abrams-Drain, Jaquan McMillan at nickel. I think this is going to be a hell of a crew this year. I thought it was interesting in the Denver Post, though. They were mentioning their cornerbacks this morning, and it was like they had Patrick Surtain and then Chris Abrams-Drain at corner, and then they mentioned the nickel. They didn't mention Riley Moss in this article. Isn't that weird? It was just an oversight? Just forgot about him? How do you forget Riley Moss?
Rolling Stone gathers no moss.
Very good.
I apologize.
No, that wasn't bad. I don't know what that means, but well, it maybe, sounded
maybe
smart.
Maybe they were rolling through the article and they forgot. Like, he's just so low-key.
I guess, because they have Pat Surtain named here. I was reading through some of their stuff today. Chris Abrams-Drain, Jaquan McMillan. Okay, let me find that. But I think, oh no, here he is. My bad. He's at the bottom for some reason.
Maybe you're the Rolling Stone then.
I could be that.
You did play Rolling Stones earlier.
Brandon Jones and Hufanga, Talanoa Hufanga. Again, another one if they can stay healthy. Brandon Jones is a stud. I mean, he was a 2024 free agent addition. Earned that full-time safety role as the free safety in Vance Joseph's defense. Dude, I don't know who I'm more excited about. Brandon Jones and Hufanga, or the three-headed monster of Patrick Surtain, Riley Moss, and Jahdae Barron, who's a rookie, might not start at nickel. Maybe it's Jaquan McMillan, because right now that's what the depth chart would tell you. Eastside Chris says, compare them to Orange Crush. Was the Orange Crush or the no-fly zone a better defense?
Different eras.
But who was better?
Again, different eras.
You're never going to get a Lego ever again if you don't stop an offense. Which defense are you taking? The Orange Crush or the no-fly zone? Which one are you taking?
The one where I was aware of football a lot more.
So the no-fly zone.
Probably the no-fly zone, especially today since there's a lot more passing.
Yeah. So, we could say No Fly Zone, Orange Crush. When you get a nickname, you're obviously good. You're obviously a great defense when you get a nickname. What will this nickname be for this defense? Any ideas? No
Mikey
fly zone?
Kilpatrick.
No. I mean, where do you go? Orange Crush works. No fly zone works. Nobody could pass against him. They didn't like, you're never going to get another Lego. I'm trying to motivate you to answer the damn question. It's the only thing I could think of. I need a nickname for this defense. We need to tweet that out. All right. 48 minutes after the hour.
Is that tomorrow's poll question?
Maybe. Maybe not. I do like your moss thing. What was that again?
Rolling Stone gathers no moss.
And then you said Chris says moss only grows on the north side. Idiot. He didn't add that last part.
Okay.
I don't know. You're speaking his language, I think. You and your moss talk. It was very deep.
I don't know what exactly that phrase means. Like maybe get off your butt and do something. I'm not sure what it means.
I think you're right. It means you're not going to look gross and stuff if you keep going. Because if you get moss all over you, it's not appealing.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. That's what I would think.
Maybe I should get off my butt and shave because I look like I have moss all over my face.
GoPoke says, factor in the best quarterback in the AFC. The Broncos are a lock to host the AFC Championship against the Bills. And then GoPoke, the question is, who are you rooting for? Who are you rooting for? The Broncos or your boy? Josh Allen. What do we learn? Coming up next.
The Highland Huskies are in the spotlight tonight. Tune in tonight at 5 to learn more. Presented by Tasman.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
What do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
Okay, we learned that we screwed up. We messed out. We did not do our Diamond Valley Collectibles trivia question of the day.
What do you mean we?
Well, you. All right, here it is. I'm going to do it right now. So load it up. 970-353-1310. Register. You need to get in for this. Bo Nix through for 3,775 yards last season. Where did that rank him among rookie quarterbacks last season? Give me the number. Probably 1 through 5. Give me the number. 970-353-1310. So we'll do that now. Forgot about it. We got to talking about timeouts and all this other stuff. But I want you to call right now. Get this in. $20 gift certificate on the line. Friday we'll announce it. Bo Nix threw for 3,775 yards last season. Where did he rank among rookie quarterbacks? 970-353-1310. We learned a lot. We learned a lot. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.